guys who delayed in getting started. Weather has been playing a little bit of havoc with this, the last leg of our Northwestern tour. I'm Senator Mike Pauletta from the Anchorage area and chairman of the Special Senate Committee on Alcohol and Alcohol Abuse. The members of the committee are Senator Glenn Hackney from New City, who is also chairman of the Senate Health and Social Services Committee. I point that out because, of course, that's an important committee in the process of any solutions towards alcoholism. The other members of the committee, Senator Bill Ray of Juneau, Senator Bob Woodward of Michigan, and Senator Frank Ferguson of Coxsville. We do have a liaison member from the House, Representative Chris Lafine of Anchorage, accompanying the committee also is Commissioner Frank Jamelson, Commissioner of the State Department of Health and Social Services, and Richard Peter of the Attorney General's Office. Governor Hammond early in the year introduced a package of legislation relating to alcohol. And some of it contained excise tax increases. Other portions of it addressed itself to treatment and, in general, pointed out what is Alaska's number one problem. The governor has further been substantiated in his view that it is Alaska's number one problem by the Alaska Forum. Their past year of activity, regardless of the topic discussed, always ended up with a discussion about alcohol and alcohol abuse. The committee is conducting 10 formal discussion sessions. We've elected the public meeting type of forum that we're all familiar with is not really what we're seeking if, in fact, we're to address what is society's number one problem. We must have your input, not only what the governor has proposed, but a step further as to how can we best pass laws that are applicable to everyone in the state, but yet are beneficial to this community. It's been our practice in each of the 13 places that we've visited the past 3 or 4 days to not single out any community, as the reason why we're there is because they have a problem. We don't know. For the medium of discussion, I'll use my town because I'm from it, and I do know that we do have a problem. And hopefully, some of the suggestions that you people will voice this evening may help me and my town. And likewise, maybe some of the comments that we make may help you with your problem here if you so feel you do have one. There are a number of people who have expressed a desire to speak to the committee, and I would appreciate very much calling on them first insofar as they did take the time to write in advance for a period of time. Dr. John Morris, why don't we start with you?
Can I say here?
Yes, please do.
Well, Senator, you are aware, and so as members of the committee, my opinion about some of the solution to alcohol abuse. Being, since I'm on the governor's advisory board, even though I have had a lot of experience and understanding about alcoholism as a psychiatrist, I've learned much more just listening to testimony of other experts and people who have suffered the consequences of alcohol abuse, and I'm beginning to have a better bird's eye view. I think in this community, it's fairly obvious to everyone that alcohol abuse has caused considerable problems even in the development of the core area of this city. In fact, just recently, Bill Allen, he's the commissioner of administration, suggested that the state not invest much more money in developing business office buildings in the area in Fairbanks between Barnett and Noble and 2nd Avenue or 1st Avenue and 5th Avenue, which is has been the commercial center of Fairbanks until the last few years when major shopping centers have sprung up on the periphery, which I think is a good thing in many ways, but I think the core area of the town should be also preserved as a viable economic area, certainly for businesses, as in most communities and most cities. But the number of, for instance, liquor establishments on 2nd Avenue is tremendous when you consider the length of the block, the two blocks, and the number of other business establishments there. Now, the alcoholism treatment program in this community is exceptional and has developed very, very much from a failing group, a failing treatment program to a successful treatment program just in the last 2 years. And this has come about through primarily citizen input, which has stimulated the efforts of the people who were in the treatment programs to not only get their act together, but add to the competence and the expertise that they had already. And we feel very satisfied with that. And so does the governor's Office of Alcoholism. Now, the governor's proposals, his package of bills, which have to do with recommendations regarding the quotes unquote control of the use of alcohol in an attempt to control the abuse of alcohol. And several of the bills involve taxation or how a community may or may not control the use or the sale of alcohol. I agree with some of those proposals as a way of trying to control alcohol abuse. And one of the things that I'd like to mention first, which I have not mentioned before, except I think in a letter I wrote, I'm not sure to Commissioner Williamson or not, but in any event, I would like to suggest to the committee that one way that we should try to control abuse is to try to discourage the use of it. There are a couple of advertisements on the radio, which to me are just obscene relative to the sale of an alcoholic beverage, which is a legal but dangerous drug, dangerous even to the consumer who is not an alcoholic or the one who is addicted to the agent, or one who has not the capability of tolerating it metabolically. I know that advertising is essential in a free enterprise system, but I just feel that urging people to buy beer or to buy any alcoholic beverage because of some apparent or mythical social value, or because of some other socially acceptable concept, is obscene, because it urges the use of something that is very difficult for anyone to control. We don't urge the sale of narcotics. We have stopped the advertising of cigarettes. And I think it's time that we considered bringing to a halt the advertising of the sale of alcohol. The happy hour notion from 4:30 to 6:30 is a common practice throughout the United States, perhaps in the world. After work, before you go home type of thing. Well, the drinks are usually at a cut rate, And it does encourage people to even have in some places a ladies' night where drinks are free. I know that has occurred in San Francisco. I think that's something we should really look at very hard. In fact, personally, the advertising business to me goes to so far that I feel that many people who are involved in that business are prostituting themselves to sell things that they would ordinarily not even buy themselves. I think we see that on television. And I think I can say that part of my own profession, psychology, I think many psychologists and people who are in the study of the mind prostitute themselves in trying to help the advertising business sell a considerable amount of things that aren't even necessary. That's one of the first things that I would like to attack, if there is anything to attack. The other thing is, I feel personally, as you know, Senator, that the proposal of the governor to add a higher tax, an excise tax, on the sale of alcoholic beverages is one important way to take care of the expense of the consequences of alcohol use, which sometimes leads to abuse. You mentioned at our meeting in Anchorage several weeks ago that gasoline tax, which I suggested helps defray the expense of building highways, does not pay for the highways in Alaska, and that's true. It doesn't pay for the highways anywhere. The cost of building highways comes from general taxes because of various reasons of transportation, not just the use of it for automobiles or travel and so forth, but the merchandise transportation and so forth. I do think that an increase in tax on the use of alcohol by the users would relieve some of the burden of the general fund to take care of some of the consequential expenses of alcohol use, such as just the litter problem alone. You can go along the highway and see tin cans and beers and beer bottles and so forth. The child abuse problem, the expense of that, the incarceration of people, the difficulty with drivers who drink, the sickness and the loss of work time as a result of a binge or just a weekend party drinking or many other factors that are involved in the consequences of alcohol. I think that some of those expenses should be borne by those who were willing to use an agent. And as a taxpayer, I would prefer, and I would be able to tolerate, paying taxes, more taxes on the purchase of alcoholic beverages. But if I were an abstainer, a teetotaler, I would resent a little bit that some of my tax money is going to take care of the consequences of the use or abuse of someone else. Those are the two things that I would like to mention. We should attack the advertising of it, encouraging it, making it seem like a beautiful, palatable thing. And the other is that I think we should try to derive monies through taxation of the use of the agent itself to take care of some of the consequences which are going to happen even if people were drinking with all good intentions. Because we do make mistakes, we sometimes go too far. That's about all I'd like to say.
Frank Gold. Yes. Frank, you're a chair up here.
I'm Frank Gold. I'm a psychologist here in Fairbanks.
Frank, if you would permit me, please. I see Senator Butler in your city here and Sally Brown. Representative Sally Brown. Smith. I'm sorry. It's been a long trip. Would you like to come up here, please?
That's fine. I'll get her later. I'm Frank Gold. I'm a psychologist here in Fairbanks and director of the Fairbanks Drug Treatment Center. And I'm not going to be dealing with some of the problem that Jack Morris was talking about. I'm going to talk more about the administrative problems, I think, as far as programs are concerned. You're talking about alcohol and alcohol programs as this committee runs around the state, but the drug abuse office has been put into that office now as one combined office, in spite of Senator Bill Sumner's objection, and I gather that this occurred in the House also, that there was an objection to combining these offices, and the law wasn't passed. And I'm talking about House Bill 340. The bill, as it was written by the Office of Alcoholism, called for the creation of an awful lot of centralized authority in Juneau. And I and several people in the field got together and wrote what was supposed to be a suggestion and wound up being a committee substitute of sorts. That was not the intent. But I think the major difference between the two is that we're talking about, and I think the only way to begin to deal effectively with some of the problems in the whole area of drug and alcohol abuse in the state, is to talk about creating more local control over the issue. It's unfortunate that too frequently we wind up with a situation where the shots are being called from a city very far from the town you're living in, and an attempt to create any kind of dialogue as you attempt to modify some of the rules that come out of Juneau. Is met with an awful lot of frustration, antagonism on the part of the people in Juneau, and a lot of frustration on the part of the people in the local community. I don't know exactly what the intent of the legislature was at the end of the session, other than they did not pass House Bill 340 in any form. But the governor, in his wisdom, went ahead and combined the offices anyway. I'm not sure which law they're functioning under at this point for sure, but a reorganization occurred. When I went to Juneau to testify on this particular bill and bring up the concept of more contracting by the state, that the state should not be involved in the direct services. They should be contracting with private practitioners. They should be contacting with local programs, basically acting as no more than a contracts office. And we'll be using as a model the Community Mental Health Centers Act that was passed in 1975, which called for a lot of cash flow, but not a lot of program direction on the part of the state. What they simply did was act as auditors, financial, and program. This was a concept that was rejected by the governor's office, both at the time of the meeting in Juneau towards the end of the session, and again in May of 1977 when I got a letter from Sue Green, the special assistant to the governor, indicating that the proposal has merit. But unfortunately, the importance of overview of expenditures of state dollars and monitoring the public return on those expenditures is eroded in your proposed legislation, and it is the strong belief that the monitoring must continue in this particular program at this time, talking about the Combined Office of Alcohol and Drug Abuse. The comparison with Community Mental Health Center program is not, and I'm not going to quote at this point, it's just saying it's not totally appropriate. And I guess I'd have to go and refer everyone back to that legislation again, which calls for part of the community mental health center being treating alcohol and drug abuse problems. And on the one hand, you're talking about a bill that, law, that calls for lots of local input in terms of money, people, direction, procedure. And on the other hand, you're talking about the alcohol and drug abuse bill, which calls for lots of centralized authority in Juneau. I guess the most frustrating aspect of it is that when all was said and done with the original House Bill 340, it was creating a worse monster for the local program people to deal with than presently exists now. There was going to be a research arm. I don't know what happened to the university's alcohol and addiction studies institute. There were going to be the provision for the possibility of providing direct services. Why? I don't see the state providing any direct services, particularly in the social service area or in the health area. And not because they're incapable of doing it. I don't think that's the point. I mean, the point is there are people that live in the community, and I'm sorry, the people in Juneau can't tell me what the drug problem is like in Fairbanks. And the an example of the kind of distrust that tends to develop between that bureaucracy and the legislature is that during the course of the year, lots of reports are sent into the bureaucracy. And during the course of the interim, there are lots of questionnaires sent out by the legislature asking for the same information. And I want to know why. Well, don't you trust what the administration's giving you? I suspect not. I suspect you may have reason not to. But the antagonism is one that I would just as soon see happen in Juneau. I don't like getting caught in the middle of it as a program director. But I don't see any easy way to get out of it. Now, I can speak for the an item that's come up recently. Recently, I was appointed to about a one-month term on the city council in an open seat. And one of the problems that the council's been talking about and kind of been turning in my direction at work sessions has to do with licensing of alcohol establishments. And there's lots of concern that basically the city of Fairbanks council can say, that guy shouldn't have his license. And the ABC board goes right ahead and does what they damn well feel like doing. And I think somewhere along the way, there's got to be a change in the direction where you start talking more about putting more authority back in the hands of the local community. And I don't buy the argument that the authority has to sit in Juneau because they are responsible. The people in the local communities aren't any more or less responsible than the people in Juneau. But there's a continual negative response to any request for local control. And I don't think it's just within this area, but this is the area that I deal with. And I don't know how you go about changing it. And I guess the unfortunate part for me is that I was under the impression that the legislature had killed this issue and went home very satisfied that it was going to come up maybe next year. And the next thing I got was a letter from a combined office saying it now existed. I guess in some ways I'm almost looking for a response from the members of the legislature rather than just giving testimony on it. Because it seems you're the people that are elected from the local communities. Your affiliation is to that local community. It is not to a Juneau bureaucracy. And somewhere along the way, you've got to be held accountable. But throwing people out of office and electing new people doesn't seem to change it. Because in spite of the fact that you may be very competent at the things you do, you're not spending 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, putting together the snow that you're going to snow someone else with when they come down to Juneau in January.
Frank, I don't know if you were here for our opening remarks, but we are an informal discussion to do. Comments are allowed by anyone. All will answer, I think, and the moderator is a little bit of control. But if you're looking for a response from at least one legislator on the Supreme Court, I don't know what's happening. I think you've touched on a very important area. Branches of government. It isn't particularly important for whatever reasons we can be honest with each other. Each may be doing what he wants to do. I don't know. I just shocked as you were, because if there were ever a clear case of legislative intent not to do something, and then it's done, I defeated it. Yes, please.
What would your comment about the university's alcoholism and addiction institute?
They have a center for the study of alcohol and addictions, and that, as far as I was ever aware, was supposed to be an organization that dealt with studying the problems of alcoholism and addiction. In the original House Bill 340, all kinds of research going on in the State Office of Alcoholism and Drug Abuse. I don't know why. I mean, the state's already funding one agency. Why another? I think, you know, if you read that legislation, that's only the example I thought of right away, but there were just a whole host of areas. All of a sudden, the state could get involved in direct services. The state was going to get involved in licensing facilities. The state was going to get involved in, and I say, wait a minute, you know, I know the people in the State Office of Drug Abuse. I don't know all the ones in the State Office of Alcoholism. But they have literally nothing to offer to the city of Fairbanks, and they've admitted that. The drug programs in this town, there's no one working in any of the drug programs I can think of except one person that doesn't have his master's degree. In this area, they've been working in this area, people hired by the state tend to be administrators. They don't necessarily know about, have experience in, or have the credentials to operate in that field within the private sector. If I tried to play that game in an area that I could not be licensed in the state, I'd be arrested. But the state regularly hires people that could not meet licensing requirements within the state, and then makes them, the people that are the administrators, in charge over programs that are functional. Now, I'm not saying there aren't programs in the state that are having some problems. That's true. But in Fairbanks, that's never been true. And we get much more satisfaction from the town of Valley Community College with regard to training or anything else than we're going to get from them, because they can't offer it. They don't have it.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. That was quite a few. I wondered why the church was being done.
Senator, we can't hear. Nobody on this side can hear.
Oh, Larry, well, I just wondered why the research wasn't being done where we had established the research to be done.
Larry, I think I can answer some of your questions. And the Center for Alcoholism and Drug Abuse at the University of Alaska in Anchorage, somehow or other, is still operating. But the recommendations of the Governor's Advisory Board on Alcoholism last year was that we should urge a master's degree level be developed at the university relative to alcohol abuse, and it would naturally, the logical extension of that would be to take to train people also in drug abuse. Now, I'm not sure what Frank's getting at. I think that maybe you're a little bit behind what's been happening. There is a program, or as far as the state office providing direct services in alcoholism, that's not true.
No.
And they,
this is the proposed
they're
bill.
Doing everything they can to contract, to provide and contract with private enterprise as much as is possible, unless there would be a need for a service agent or person or professional that only the state could employ. I'm 100% against state involvement in direct services of anything, whether it's alcohol abuse or mental health or building a road. But there are times when we must look down the road and say, someday we will have a sunset to that agency because we'd be able to do it privately. I think that the training, there's an effort now to develop a training program in the state of Alaska by using models from outside of the state to enhance and increase what is already here. Now, I haven't heard anything to the contrary that is going to fail. I think it will succeed, and as far as I can see, I think the Office of Alcoholism is a very responsible group of people. They've been hamstrung to some degree because their budget was cut back, and some of their personnel, which I think are very competent. As I told the Senator about a month ago, I thought that for every dollar of investment the state makes, they get $2 back. Well, maybe they get $1.40, but they don't get 75 cents, which is often the case in many other state operations or government operations. So I think there is a need, and they want to license every treatment program, the professionals in the treatment programs. And one of the biggest obstacles to this was the Veterans Administration, which I think will comply with the state requirement relative to what the veterans want to do. Because the veterans went around the state and were funding programs that were not necessarily approved of by the state office. And I agree with putting a restriction on the federal government. We're going to use the state to serve and help the citizens of the state. They should be licensed and reviewed just as anyone else. But I think that some of the things that you're worried about, Frank, are being solved.
I would suggest the man you're talking about is head of that office, is the one that wrote this original HB 340, and I suggest you look at it.
I have looked at it, and it's going to be modified further.
Oh, I would hope so.
Well, this one.
Just a comment, Frank. Frank and I have gone round and round about some of these things, but I got here in February of 75, during that period when, you know, we had that state program development grant from NIH, and we had people from alcoholism and drug programs of various levels of professional capability on the different task forces. One of the things they addressed was the rationale for developing a combined program in alcoholism, drug abuse, and mental health. And it was a nearly unanimous decision of that group at the meetings that I attended that this take place. But be that as it may, that was the only guidance I had at that time, except that I personally believe in the behavioral health model for a lot of these things. During the ensuing legislative session, unrelenting pressure was applied to me by the legislature to provide them with a plan to combine all of these activities. In the spring of 1976, I did so. There, and that, I don't know if you, I'm sure you must have a copy of that, a proposed division of behavioral and developmental health. No action was taken on that on that proposal, although it was never, no legislative reaction was given to me. It was never put in the form of legislation. During this last legislative session, of course, we had 340 pending before the legislature, and then I talked about that. Near the close of the legislative session, the House Finance Committee zeroed out the Office of Drug Abuse, administrative budget, and four positions, which was to me a rather clear indication, and we had the indication in testimony before that committee that we combined those activities. That reduced our staff and that group of people from 17 to 13. We presently have a revised program that we presented once the legislative budget and audit. We will present it again to restore some of those staff positions. So if you're looking for legislative guidance in this, the signals to me become mixed too. Maybe in the ensuing session, when all these things are considered by the legislature, including the governor's proposals or modifications thereof, some clear direction about how the legislature feels about the state program. I'd like to ask one question in addition to that. We are in the process, even though the budget is small for administrative purposes, in my view, and the number of positions small, trying to regionalize our activities. My own view would be ultimately that virtually everything we do be in communities. The state would still have some responsibility for as a pass-through agency for federal funds, and somebody's got to look after the state general funds that go out in the program. So we are attempting to regionalize. With respect to the grant structure, you know, the whole advisory board thing, and I couldn't get from your remarks if you don't view the advisory boards for alcoholism and drug abuse and their role in the review of proposals for local programs as being other than a viable mechanism.
I don't think I'm making a point, though, when you talk to me about wanting to put four positions that were cut back in. The last comment made to me by Kent Dawson in Juneau, who was working at as the governor's budget man at that time, was, I hope you guys are honest this year, because all we're going to be doing is sending you checks. That's how sure he was there was going to be no combination at that point. That was right near the end of the session. I don't want more people on there. It seems to me the only agency I know of in Juneau, and this isn't fair because I don't know them all, but Criminal Justice Planning Agency has their act together. They're efficient, they're organized, and they are not involved in the continual nitpicking that comes down to program. I can only talk about the drug office, but I'm sorry, there is no one working in your staff that can tell me a damn thing about how to run a drug program. Sorry. And that.
Thank you. I wonder, Senator, could I mention just for the history of the technicalities of this bill? It was basically amendments to the Uniform Alcoholism Act, which would bring Dr. Gold's bailiwick into it, including drug abuse. And that's where we get into difficulties, because unfortunately, the Uniform Alcoholism Act, my work with it has convinced me that it was devised for states which had very strong central state programs, which is identical with Dr. Gold's ideas or a lot of other people's ideas. Unfortunately, that was the way the Uniform Act was adopted, with a few changes as necessary. Over the last 4 years that's been in effect, we've seen that Alaska has, in many cases, been taking a different approach. It has been reflected in the legislation. When it came time to combine these offices, we found out that the easiest way, it may have been too easy a way, was just to build in the drug abuse references to it and explain a little of the operation, de-emphasize the state's role in alcoholism, and clarify just what these various treatment facilities are. Very puzzlingly, the legislation referred to public and private facilities. Well, we don't have any public facilities in the state. They all seem to be private, all of the alcoholism facilities and the drug abuse facilities too. So we tried to make the minimum amount of changes in the proposal, hoping that if the legislature wished to go on from there, which they may or may not in our committee substitute,
But that's the technical history of the bill. It's the Uniform Alcoholism Act with drug abuse built in. The Uniform Alcoholism Act proposed by the Commission on Uniform Legislation several years ago, it apparently took the course that the state was right. Should be in the center of things. We don't feel that way. I'm sure that the administration can say that too. We don't feel that way, but we're trying to work toward a better bill, and with the help of the legislature and citizens like yourself and others attending here, we're going to work something else. But that's why it is so strongly state-oriented at the moment, and still alcoholism-oriented, rather than going into all the ramifications which the drug inclusion would necessitate.
Thank you. Senator Gillett, I speak to you almost pure ignorance, and not been associated in any way with the treatment of the alcohol problem, except remotely as an educator, I suppose. But as I listen here, one or two things come up which I feel might be underscored. I rather like what Dr. Gould has said here.
A little louder, Dr. Gould.
I rather like what Dr. Gould has said here about the decentralization of the responsibility for the actual rehabilitation programs, as opposed to a strong centralization of them. And I have a notion that this notion, this idea should be given a full airing, and that perhaps the legislature would give some attention to it, or the administration, rather, would be the one to give some attention to it. Now, that doesn't in any way detract from the fact that you must have an administrator for the total statewide effort. I'm sure that that is true. You must have a contact point there for the administration. The other point which seemed to me to make very good sense that Frank brought up was the local control of the issuance of licenses, at least local influence. Because we have had instances here, and I think the instances have cropped up elsewhere in the state, where a local group of citizens have said no more licenses here, and have turned down specific ones because there's something of as unsavory in the background of the applicant or something of this sort, and then have found that a few weeks or months later that this license has been issued, and the people that they wanted to keep from operating a liquor establishment were in business again. I think there's a way that could be devised to handle this. Again, I see the necessity of the state board, both as I would think that the state board could not override a negative action on the part of a local citizens group such as the city council. If the city, however, council approves something, the state board might turn it down because they were privy to some additional information that the city perhaps did not have. But I wouldn't go the other way. I would say if the city turns it down, the state board could not approve it. And, Frank, would that take care, you think, of what you were talking about? Thanks. But basically now, as just an ordinary citizen, not been involved in any way with the
the rehabilitation program, alcoholism. There is an old saying, which comes from one of the French philosophers, that states one blow at the roots is worth 1,000 blows at the branches. And I get the impression, as I read, and I'm on the mailing list for the publications, as I read and I listen to radio, television, and attend some meetings, that most of the effort that is underway is the nature of striking at the branches and not at the roots of the cause. Now, it's all well and good to say that alcoholism is a sickness, is a physical sickness. We would not quarrel with that. But what is the cause of the sickness? And we don't need any more band-aids for the sore on the surface. We need to get at what is the root cause. And that, of course, is probably multiple and complex and so forth. But until we get at that, I really think that most of your expenditures on special programs are simply striking at the branches. They've banned, but not much else happens. Perhaps the research program that you intended, although I've not seen anything that led me to think that it really was accomplishing a whole lot, perhaps that research program was intended to get at the root of the cause of the problem. What is the root of the problem? Recently, I have run across something which sounds of interest, and it dealt with the, instead of creating more rehabilitation centers, that we created some more jobs. That might be a great help, and jobs of a type that some of the people who seem addicted could accomplish and gain some personal pride and satisfaction out of. I say, I don't know, Senator. I just say that I'm not at all impressed with the striking at the branches until you identify the root and pay attention to the root of it.
Introduce myself. I'm Joe McLean, president of the Fairbanks Council on Alcoholism. And I'm identifying with quite a bit that's been said here by the past two speakers, that a lot of it is what we need in Fairbanks. It seems to be, in my opinion only, there's a lot of us who are kind of sitting back and waiting for somebody else to do it. I know some of the places you gentlemen have been, that they have a problem. As far as I'm concerned, in Fairbanks, we have an epidemic. I mean, we have drug abuse, we have alcoholism, and it's just a matter, to me, of more people policing their own area, of more people being involved. Something, I know that everybody has screaming out for monies and all of this. Well, if you gave a person $1 million and he didn't know how to cure an alcoholic with it or what to do with the money, it'd be a waste of money. This is my opinion only. I'm not a professional. I'm a dope fiend myself. I'm also an alcoholic and have been for 30 years. Through one of these programs that the state drug abuse has funded, I haven't had a shot of dope and haven't took anything that didn't belong to me in the last 5 years. So therefore, all I can do is use myself, that I didn't cure myself, but I had to have help, and I reached out for it, and it was there for me. And there's a big part of me that would like to put some back in the pot any way that I can. I'm more than willing to do my share. I've been in Fairbanks here for 2 years. In the past 2 years, I haven't seen it getting any better at all. Thank goodness it may be just leveling off a little bit, but it's not getting any better. And what I mean by that is when you drive down around the river and you see people sleeping under bisqueen, and you see people sleeping under tarpaulins, sleeping in the back of cars, all from alcoholism, drunk, just simple drunk. You also see it into the difference. We'll say the middle class people, you get calls to somebody that's really having a hard time in the middle class, and it's all, it affects everybody, so it is. It's in the schools, in the colleges. My thing is that I'd like to see, get more into the prevention and education, to look at alcoholism and drug abuse, how much of a sickness it really is. I know that everybody is expecting a big success rate. Well, in my opinion, if we save one person's life, it's worth a lot of money. Only the individual values their life, anything really. But I think that it's still up to the community of Fairbanks and the state of Alaska to all join forces. There's several different agencies here in town. It's, kind of what you're doing your thing and you're doing theirs, just as far as all of them really getting together, nobody seems to know what's been happening. And in the meantime, the alcohol is getting worse. I'd like to answer any questions I might be able to do, but other than that.
Joe, in prevention, what type of activity do you think would be successful?
Well, in my opinion, is a lot of times going into the schools, it's surprising, and it was really a shock to me, to realize that people between 13, 14, up to 17, 18 year olds, that don't even know. I mean, they know to go out and drink with the party because they're socially accepted, or that's the thing to do. But as far as really knowing what they're doing by drinking that booze or smoking that pot or whatever, that would be to where I'm.
Now, what could someone have done for you that would have prevented you the development of your problem?
I don't know.
At a very early stage?
I don't know. I mean, actually, where that is, I had to want to do it for myself. I had to want to do something for myself. I had to go through, I was a 55-year-old when I finally turned it around, so what? I had every opportunity in the world, but I wasn't there. And that's exactly where I'm at. In other words, I had to find something to replace that. I never got tired of shooting dope. I got tired of going to jail. I got tired of sleeping in the gutters under the tarps.
Now, some kind of education program early in your life would have possibly caused
it. It might have if I'd have been open for money. I was kind of closed to all of it.
You touched on something that's really the key point of any legislation that gets passed, and that's that the person receiving the service has to want to be cured or has to want to change their way of life. Most of the failures that the agencies have seen have been people that really, you know, they got hauled in off the street for being drunk in public or whatever and put through a program that they weren't really interested in being cured. Do you have any suggestions as to ways that people can be approached that might help in the success rate? I think it's kind of unanswerable, but that maybe you can help.
No, I really don't, because it's just, I don't have the answer.
It seems we pour so many dollars into people that don't want help, that really have no desire. And, you know, if you can get one person, maybe you're right, but it seems to me that there's got to be a balance somewhere that we really, in a way, have no business dragging those people in if they flat out don't want you to drag them.
I think where that is that the caring part about each and every one of us, that if a dog is run over out there in the street, he'll try to hobble off to the bushes instead of picking him up and taking him to the veterinary. Sometimes he'll even bite you. And this is the thing that I have a hard time with, is trying to get something they don't want, you know, push something down their throat kind of in that way.
Okay, but I think we're still coming around to something that's really missing in this program, and that's that we're pouring dollars into these people instead of human care, which comes from the guy next door. And for some reason or other, we can't legislate that the guy next door pick up his neighbor out of the street and help him or cure him. We're all looking for magic numbers here, but I don't see how we can do it. And I think that that's a crucial thing, and that somehow we have to get the man in the street turned around to taking on some of his own responsibility for his neighbor. How we can build it into a program, I think, is part of the question, instead of how can we spend dollars.
Just as a matter of information, Senator, and Joe also, CHAR, which is an organization of liquor people, has a committee formed in the last couple of months, which plans to try to work in the schools with third and fourth grade children, showing films, basically, this coming year. And if I'm not wrong, this program has been partially initiated in Anchorage. I'm not completely familiar with it, but we have some funding allotted to it. Just hopefully that it has
I'd like to respond to Mr. Smith's statement about people not being ready for help. Can't really do anything for them unless they want help. And I think this is a pretty big misconception by a lot of people. I think just the nature of the disease, alcohol, is okay. Part of the disease, the denial by the person who's got it, is usually the last one to know that he's got it or realize it and accept it in his life. I think it's the responsibility of the treatment program to be able to bring the disease concept to the sick person to the point where he can realize it and accept it. This, to me, is the biggest bridge, or the biggest gap in treatment. I think in the state today, the way it stands is the fact that just about in every town in this state, they're treating alcoholics differently. I wonder if they do that with other diseases like tuberculosis or diabetes or cancer. It seems to me that what we have to do, at least in regards to treatment, just zeroing in on treatment, is take a look at the programs, and there are high-quality, successful programs going on right now in the United States, and don't put one dime back into programs in this state unless they are based on some kind of successful model of treatment. That is